talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media from Madison, Waukesha, Wausau, and Wisconsin Rapids, and soon a lot of other places. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. And we're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And there was a lot of it made, and a lot of it was bad history over the Labor Day weekend. There was a corrupt decision out of a federal judge in Florida. She granted, this is Eileen Mercedes Cannon, she granted the motion of Trump's lawyers to appoint a special master to review the documents seized by the FBI pursuant to a lawful search warrant. Another federal judge is the one who signed the search warrant. He's the one with jurisdiction. She stuck her nose in it, issued a corrupt decision. Why is that? Well, let's get a little deeper into history. Eileen Mercedes Cannon, Mercedes, is from Colombia. She's not from the United States. I assume she became an American citizen at some point because as a federal judge, I'm sure they wouldn't have confirmed her if she wasn't. She was put by Trump. Trump found a lot of native-born authoritarians, creeps, like Steve Bannon and Rudy Giuliani, but what he did as well is go to foreign-born authoritarians. She's one of them, Kash Patel, P-A-T-E-L. First name, believe it or not, Kash, K-A-S-H. In God we trust, all others pay cash. Kash Patel. When people come first generation from an authoritarian culture, it's in their cultural DNA. It's in their memes. Eileen Mercedes Cannon is in a culture that's used to being servile and kneeling to the strongman. Colombia, if you don't do that, you get killed. And she showed her gratitude to Trump and knelt before the strongman in giving him this decision. But it's more than that. Let's go deeper into history. Eileen Mercedes Cannon was so servile that she held the hearing in West Palm Beach a few miles from Mar-a-Lago. It was an hour from her regular courtroom. That's very rare. Judges just don't go, okay, I'm going to accommodate one guy in this lawsuit. So what? His people only have to drive 4 miles instead of, say, 60 miles? It was a sign of servility. It was a sign of servility. And you go beyond this. She raised the issue of executive privilege. Maybe there's some executive privilege in these documents. The U.S. Supreme Court and all the courts of appeals have said executive privilege belongs to the present president, Joe Biden. You can't have two presidents, two sets of executive privilege. She was simply lying. Also, here's the deal. Judge Reinhart is a federal judge, a federal magistrate judge. He's the one who signed the warrant. If there's any issues with the warrant, it should have gone to him. She even said that in her opening review of the case a couple of weeks ago, basically pretending as if she thought about it, if she'd support about it. In her opinion, she said she was concerned about the, quote, reputational harm to Trump by indicting him. You know, that's really good. Yes, if people are indicted, their reputation suffers. Yes, Judge, from Cali, Colombia. But she doesn't want you to indict the strong man because it might hurt his reputational interest. What interest? What reputation? The guy has no reputation. Whatever reputation he has is bad. She also ordered that the criminal probe be delayed. That is flat out contrary to the Constitution and contrary to law. A federal judge can't even enjoin a state prosecution, Younger v. Harris, going back 50 years. Sometimes there are very, very, very unfair state prosecutions. A federal judge cannot go in and stop it. What they have to do is wait, see if there's a conviction. If there is a conviction, see it's reviewed in the state courts, and then it goes to the U.S. Supreme Court. Here she's stopping a federal review, perhaps leading to an indictment. She is submissive to the strong man. Let me tell you something. Let me pose this question. When Abraham Lincoln was elected in 1860, the Supreme Court in place had just issued the Dred Scott decision. It was a right-wing, pro-Southern Supreme Court that said in that decision that a black man couldn't be a citizen and basically couldn't be a human being. It's one of the things that precipitated the Civil War. South Carolina fired on Fort Sumter right after Lincoln was sworn in, and Lincoln sent troops into the South. What do you think would have happened if the Southern states had sued Lincoln in federal court and said that under the Constitution, states have enough independence that they can leave the Union if they want to? Well, the fact is, they were probably right, technically, under the Constitution. You know what Lincoln did? He just read the Declaration of Independence, which is not the Constitution, which said all men are created equal. And he said, that's the law that I'm following. That was very controversial back then. Lincoln was a genius. He used the Declaration of Independence to trump the pro-slavery Constitution. It would have been very easy for a Supreme Court to go, oh, well, that is unlawful. Mr. Lincoln, withdraw the troops from the South. The Dred Scott Court. Now, what do you think would have happened? Lincoln would have arrested the Supreme Court, put them in prison, and kept them there for the duration of the Civil War. At some point, you don't put up with this corruption in the federal courts. Now, let me tell you something else. I've said many times in this show that the Republican Party is using appointed individuals, non-elected individuals, to destroy our democracy. And you may think that's not possible because we can vote for people. No, that is possible. No, you may not be able to vote for people under the Constitution. Why is that? Federal judges aren't elected. Some state judges are elected. In Wisconsin, they're elected, but not federal judges. The idea was the framers thought it's good to have a countervailing force to the executive and the legislative, just in case. But there's nothing in the Constitution that says they can overrule any law of the legislature or any action of the executive. They were largely there to mediate, I should say, to decide commercial disputes. They flat out just started in things like the Dred Scott decision, sticking their nose in things, and typically it was right wing. Dred Scott, they said, black man couldn't be a citizen. Plessy v. Ferguson in the 1890s, separate but equal is fine. You could make black people sit in the last car. And in the 1930s, they said that the New Deal was unconstitutional. Until Roosevelt threatened them and said, I'm going to add more justices, and they chickened out. This has been a game of chicken with the feds. They get into federal judgeships, and they're pretty proud of themselves. This one down here is a Colombian authoritarian. There's not a shred of law to anything that she has done. Now, the Justice Department is going to appeal that, I am sure, but here's the problem. The Court of Appeals down there has Trump appointees on it. If you get the wrong panel, there's a panel of three. They're selected randomly. If you got two Trumpers on there, they may say, right on, that's fine. Then you go to the Supreme Court. And all this time, there's the impression of illegitimacy that the federal courts are giving, disguised as federal courts, really what they are is servile to Trump, are giving to this whole process of reviewing these classified documents. So that if Trump is indicted, there will be a rabble on the right who will be incited to violence. That is the objective of Eileen Mercedes Cannon of Columbia, Cali, Columbia. Now, here is a solution, a short-term solution, that I say not in jest, but I do not recommend it because it's not the law now. In the UK, they passed a law that says that the government can revoke your citizenship for certain things, typically membership in jihadist groups. And they just passed another law that says they can do it without notice to you. So you're walking down the street one day, carrying a bag of groceries, they grab you, throw you in a car, put you on a plane, and drive you fly to the Middle East and dump you on a field. Now, that's not the law here, but at some point, it would be nice to revoke her citizenship, put her on a plane, fly her to Colombia, and let her out in a field. She's worthless and no good and corrupt. This is a corrupt decision. She's doing it to be servile to the strong man. She's doing it to be servile to the strong man. To delay a criminal probe, and then she says his reputational interest. Now, remember something. Remember something very important. What did they find? This was a warrant signed by another federal judge. They found 48 empty folders that were classified. 48. Where are the documents in those folders? Where did they go? Who saw them? Did he sell them? Has Putin seen them? Putin says he saw them. Putin may be lying. I don't know. There are another 40 folders that say return to military aid or staff office, and they're empty. There are almost 88 folders empty? 48 of them with classified information. She's saying he has what, a reputational interest in the Justice Department, not looking into this? That is a Colombian decision, an authoritarian decision, a corrupt decision. A lot more on this. We're going to break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn, Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. This corrupt decision by Eileen Mercedes Cannon, Florida, after another federal judge is the one who signed the search warrant. Any issues with it should have been presented to him. She stepped in to do Trump a favor. It's a corrupt decision. I told you there were 48 empty folders that said classified, and about 40 of them that said return to military aid or staff office. Some of them were found in, he calls himself 45. He was the 45th president of the United States. So in 45's office, in a closet on the floor, There were about 10,000 other documents that are not classified. Why is that? Because these classified documents were mixed in, concealed with magazines, clothing, other articles. So Eileen Mercedes Cannon says, well, that's one reason to look forward to this. Yeah, there was classified stuff in there, but, you know, what about his magazines? Hey, look, lady, you're not a federal judge. You're being servile to the strong man. It's in your meme. Bill Barr, Crooked William Barr, his attorney general, blasted Trump. Here's what he said. He said Trump jawboned for a year. He deceived the Department of Justice in January. He deceived it in June after a subpoena, lied both times, said everything had been turned over. Crooked William Barr said there's no justification for taking the documents. And he said calling for this special master is a crock. That's Crooked William Barr. That is Crooked William Barr. Consider for a minute what Trump has said, and then think that Eileen Mercedes Cannon said he had some reputational interests as being hurt. Because what? He stole classified documents. When I say classified, some of them were the highest classification intelligence sources that could only be reviewed by certain people, a handful of them. And they had to be reviewed in a secure location. The testimony that the DOJ has gotten now is that this storeroom was essentially a supply storeroom that was used frequently. Anybody could go in and out near the pool area. And some of these documents were in a dressing room with a bridal suite over the ballroom that was rented out. And some were in Trump's office on the floor. And these were all mixed in with other things. I got news for you. The FBI is very unlikely ever to execute a search warrant on your house. But if they do, it's going to be very specific. As you can say, you go in this room and you can look for documents. If they look for documents and they see a box with classified documents, they're going to take the whole box. They will take the whole box, sort it out later, and anything that isn't classified will be returned to you. Well, here are Trump's excuses. Here are Trump's excuses. And you decide whether you think he has a reputational interest. First of all, he now says he took them for his presidential library. Now, hold on for a second. His aide said he rarely mentioned his library, didn't care about it. He'll have a presidential library in Stormy Daniels' bedroom. That's where his presidential library will be. This is ridiculous. However, even Obama, any president, Obama, Reagan, Kennedy, Clinton, anybody with a presidential library is required by law to return all documents to the archive department, and then a decision is made as to what can come back and be loaned to his library. And let me tell you two things that aren't loaned to anybody's library. A list of our spies and secret agents in Moscow, Beijing, and Tehran, and lists of nuclear sites in the event we have to launch a nuclear war, and where we think the enemy would hit here. That's not going in anybody's library. This clown had it in a storeroom in a resort that was accessed all the time by staff and anybody who wanted to. In the dressing room of the bridal suite over the ballroom and on the closet floor of his office and the drawers and mixed in with stuff. His second issue is he said, you know, this is a lot like the guy in a criminal case who's accused of murder. And he has says, I have two defenses. One is an alibi. I was in New York when the man was shot in Chicago. And number two, it was self-defense. You can't do that in front of a jury. You can't go, I wasn't there, but if I was there, it was self-defense. Here's what this clown is saying. Crooked Donald Trump. He's saying, I wanted them for my presidential library, but if that doesn't work, I declassified them on the way out. Stop right there. He can't declassify anything without going through certain very, very stringent procedures, and he didn't do it. And then if that doesn't work, he said, there's executive privilege. Oh, yeah, the Supreme Court says there wasn't. If that doesn't work, well, if you'd only asked, I would have given it to you. Well, we asked for a year and a half, and you didn't give it to us. Okay, well, if that doesn't work, I don't have any documents. Well, if that doesn't work, the FBI planted them. Well, that doesn't work, they're mine. This is what he's done. This is quite literally what he has done. Crooked William Barr is his attorney general, said that this is a crock. There's no excuse for it. You can't come with seven defenses. You can't say presidential library, if you'd only asked, I declassify them, there's executive privilege, I don't have any, the FBI planted them and they're mine anyway. That's what he's saying. I have an alibi, and anyway, it was self-defense. The guy is a crook, it should be prosecuted, and Eileen Mercedes Cannon of Cali, Colombia, all she has done is giving the appearance of some impropriety in the search that will be used by people to commit violence. That is what the Republican Party is doing to overturn our democracy with appointed people. Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. I see you on the line. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. Back to Matt Flynn, director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're great to the phone lines. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dick?
A couple, three things. Marco Rubio says it's just a storage problem. But, you know, here's something I found hilarious over the weekend. This nonstop attack of Joe Biden and his horrible, divisive speech last week. Man, how is a speech that's basically a review of the last 6 years of this guy's rhetoric and the rest of the kooks in the Republican mega party, how is that divisive, pointing that out? It's basically a book review or a review of this craziness. And then one last thing to this nonsense about Sleepy Joe and all that that they keep bringing up. It was brought to my attention, and the Democrats should use this nonstop. In that rambling speech of Trump's the other night, he brought up having a dinner at the White House with Mark Zuckerberg. Now, the man hasn't been president for almost 2 years. And it's right there. I'm surprised the media isn't on it. They should be. Of course, he rambled on for close to 2 hours. I don't see how anybody could listen to that drivel for 2 hours. But at one point, he mentioned at the White House having dinner, and he was attacking Zuckerberg about something. I don't remember exactly what it was. But after all, to that divisiveness, here's a guy who came down the runway, launched his whole campaign. Oh, the people coming over the border are murderous and rapists and on and on and on and on. You know where I'm going. And yet, to point that out, that's divisive?
Yeah, right. Well, here's the deal. There's a mouthful in what you said, and we're going to be getting to a lot of it in this show. But a couple of things. First of all, Marco Rubio sticking up for Eileen Mercedes Cannon. Marco Rubio's parents came from Cuba, from an authoritarian culture. He has authoritarian DNA, or I should say cultural DNA, memes himself. He's used to a strong man. He was born here. He's an anchor baby. He complains about anchor babies. The level of hypocrisy in the Republican Party is unbelievable. But whatever Marco Rubio says about Eileen Mercedes Cannon, I place no weight at all. They're both pieces of work. Neither one of them should be in the federal government. And I hope Val Demings beats Marco Rubio. When it comes to Trump's speech, Trump gave a rally. And I'm going to sort of go on record and say this. I don't think that the media should cover his speeches. It gives them too much oxygen. I think, send somebody there with a camera just in case something unbelievable happens. And maybe you show a quick excerpt, especially if he says something outrageous. But that's it. You know, they show the whole thing or a lot of it. You know, they speak for 2 hours and they'll show quite a bit of it. They're giving him oxygen. Who is the guy? He lost a presidential election. He's a crook. He stole classified documents. And in his speech, remember something. He says, the FBI broke in my home. They didn't break in his home. There's a search warrant signed by a federal judge. He got a corrupt federal judge on the side to overturn that, or at least to moderate it, by saying that there has to be a special master. What? Is a special master going to review documents with the names of our spies in Moscow? I do not want Eileen Mercedes Cannon's special master, because remember something. When a judge appoints a special master, the judge is entitled to see everything he does. I don't want Eileen Mercedes Cannon seeing a list of our spies in Russia or somebody of hers in the bar that she appoints as a special master. I don't want them seeing documents about nuclear targets in Russia or nuclear targets in the United States. These people are not trustworthy. They shouldn't be in the United States, quite frankly. They're not trustworthy. So when Trump said that the FBI broke into his home, he's lying. He's lying. They got a search warrant, search for classified documents he stole. Secondly, in that speech, he called the FBI and the Department of Justice vicious monsters. And he's being defended by the Republican leadership. You have a party that is calling the FBI and the Department of Justice vicious monsters. There are other people who do. Putin does. Vladimir Putin says that. Kim Jong-un of North Korea says that, two vicious torturers themselves. The Ayatollah in Tehran says that. ISIS says that. Al-Qaeda says that. Al-Shabaab says that. The leadership of the Venezuelan communist government says that. The leadership of the Cuban communist government says that. And Trump says that. And the Republican leadership says that. There's a Republican congressman, retired, named Charlie Dent from Pennsylvania. Charlie Dent was a moderate, basically a good guy. What he would do, the way they tried to govern when John Boehner was speaker, you may not remember this, but the Tea Party caucus had gotten so big, it was kind of like the Progressive Caucus in the Democratic Party. It was antithetically opposed to the leadership of the party and ran primary opponents against conventional Republicans, just like the Progressive Caucus runs primary opponents against Democratic candidates. But on the Republican side, what happened, it was so bad, there were so many of the Tea Party, that they would do the following. If there was a hurricane in Texas, the entire Congress would vote for Hurricane Aid. But when Hurricane Sandy hit New Jersey and New York, the Tea Party said, no, they're blue states. We're not going to give them hurricane aid. In those days, the Republicans were in the majority, and John Boehner was a moderate. In retrospect, he was a very good speaker. And he would go to a handful of Republicans and say, okay, I've got all the Democrats, and I need 15 of you people. And Charlie Dent was one of the leaders, and they could govern. After a while, the Tea Party caucus threw Boehner out. Paul Ryan came in. Now, Paul Ryan, in 2018, a lot of people in the Democratic Party opposed him. You know, we had our candidate down there. He was a good guy, a labor guy. Paul Ryan dropped out, and Steele came in, and Steeler Steele, and he won. But in retrospect, Paul Ryan was a good moderate Republican. He's one of the only Republicans in the state who comes out and says, Joe Biden was legitimately elected. You may not like it. Maybe you voted for Trump, but so what? That was what the Republican Party was. Very recently, John Boehner and Paul Ryan. And before that, you had Tommy Thompson. And before that, you had Lee Dreyfus. Before that, you had similar moderate Republicans. And that's all gone. Charlie Dent of Pennsylvania gave a statement, and he said, quote, Trump has given the Democrats a major gift in his speech in Pennsylvania. He not only, by the way, called the FBI and the Department of Justice vicious monsters, he called Biden an enemy of the state. Yeah, there's one state that Biden is the enemy of. That's Russia. Another one is North Korea. And another one is Iran. And another one is the violent wing of the Republican Party headed by Trump. They think he's the enemy of that their state. But their states are not the United States. Their states are not American. Their states are violent. Their states hate America, and their states hate democracy. And Trump is part of that. And in fact, you know, a lot of people have theorized, why did Trump steal the documents? And Eileen Mercedes Cannon, kneeling to the strong man, servile to the strong man. All she's accomplished is momentarily throwing doubts as to the search, even though there was a warrant. There's growing speculation that Trump hoarded them and moved them out of those empty folders and took them to another location because he will threaten to reveal them if he is prosecuted. He will threaten to reveal them if prosecuted. He'll agree to turn them over, and he'll swear he didn't make copies, but he will make copies. He's already made copies and put those in another location if he's indicted. We have essentially a Russian agent, not because by nature or education or cultural inclination to be a Russian agent, but out of fear, because he's been funded by the Ruskies for decades, because he went bankrupt 6 times, not personally, 6 properties. He'll borrow money, he won't give a personal guarantee. He'll pull the plug and cheat the bank and go on to another one, and they're stupid enough to do it 6 times, but they would not do it a 7th time. And the guys that would do it a 7th time and an 8th and a 9th with Ruskies, because this is all money they stole. The Ruskies steal 80% of the net take of Russia, and their trade is a trade surplus on their oil, 80%. And they put in false invoices to cover it up. And everybody knows they're false invoices. So they order 100 tanks. Putin, the oligarchs, and then down the chain of command, the generals, the admirals, and the others take a slice. And they only get 20 tanks, not 100 tanks, but they say they got 100 tanks, and they put the money in their own bank accounts. It's a crooked country. Trump is crooked. And that's the money they've used to essentially buy a president of the United States. I mean, this is saying it to you as directly as I can. And Trump may never say truthfully why he stole the documents. Did he sell them to him? Did he give them to him already? Putin, as I said, publicly said, I've seen the documents. He's capable of lying, but he may be telling the truth on that one. He may be telling the truth on that one. Well, switching topics to Wisconsin, there is a welcome split in the Republican Party. Ron Johnson has attacked Robin Voss, attacked him. He blasted him for withdrawing the subpoenas to state and local officials that Gabelman had put out. Now, Gabelman, of course, that whole thing was fraudulent. They paid him over $100,000. To study what? To sit in the New Berlin Library on a public computer, unsecure, and just Google elections, what's an election? Goes around the state speaking to Republican units. Voss had enough, not because he disagreed with that, but because Gabelman endorsed a fellow named Adam Steen, I think it was, who ran against him. And Adam Steen came within 2 points of beating Voss because Adam Steen was endorsed by Trump. So Voss wanted to cut the bleeding. He fires Gabelman and withdraws the subpoenas. Johnson wants them reinstated. You know what, especially the ones to the mayor of Madison and mayor of Green Bay and the Wisconsin Election Commission, which asked that they all be put in jail. That's what Johnson wants. You know, Johnson's not in a primary. You know, you can look on that and say it's immoral and disgusting, but he's pandering to a rabble. Well, he's in a general election, and there are not a lot of people outside of that wing of the Republican Party who want the mayor of Madison in jail. There are not a lot of people outside the nut wing of the Republican Party that want the mayor of Green Bay in jail. And other than the nut wing of the Republican Party and the sheriff in Racine County, who's a member of the Constitutional Sheriff's Association, that believes that the power is in the county, the posse comitatus, and that he's more powerful than the president of the United States in his own county of Racine. Other than those kind of folks, nobody wants the Wisconsin Election Commission put in prison. I don't. I don't think you do. And some of it was against their staff, who got a paycheck for running fair elections. Why is Johnson doing this? I think Johnson's desperate. His ads against Mandela Barnes are disgusting, misleading. And that's going to keep up. That's going to keep up. But over and above that, if this is worse than a crime, it's a blunder. The people in the state don't want the mayor of Green Bay and Madison in jail, or the whole Wisconsin Election Commission or their staff. They don't want them in jail. They don't want them in jail. They don't want a senator who not only said Social Security should be revoted on every year if there's money, but they don't want them throwing local officials in jail. The Republican Party is split. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Randy of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Randy?
Good morning, Matt. I'm still kind of amused that Michael Gableman has gone to work for the Thomas More Society. Because I must have missed the part where St. Thomas More made himself a millionaire by heading up a fraudulent investigation and taking all the pieces of gold that the king seized from his peasants. What I'm talking about is, as you pointed out many times, that Republicans are able to turn on a dime when it comes to changing their beliefs to fit the situation. And I'm thinking particularly about the FBI right now. In the early 70s, there were a lot of winds of change blowing. You know, we were about to end the war in Vietnam, and we returned the POWs. Court ruled on Roe versus Wade. And one of the big changes was J. Edgar Hoover died. And from that point on, the FBI was an essentially honest organization. It was not Hoover's corrupt little, but his little fiefdom. And Hoover would have been one of Trump's biggest. The biggest allies now, but the thing is that for 50 years the FBI reformed itself into an honest and a professional organization, and now that's what kills the Republicans. They don't want the honesty. They don't want the professionalism. They want the judges, judicial branch, and law enforcement that will kowtow to them.
Yeah, you know, Randy, those are excellent comments. Let me jump in on a couple of things. I'm going to talk about first Gableman and second about the FBI. One important thing to understand, and most people I think don't, is when you say that Gableman left to join to work for the Thomas More Society, there's a thing called the Thomas More Society and then a group that just took the name and has nothing to do with the Thomas More Society. Thomas More was in effect the attorney, what would be the modern attorney general for Henry VIII in England in the 16th century. And he refused to be loyal to Henry on some things, and Henry had him executed. And he was saying he achieved sainthood. Anyway, the Thomas More Society is essentially the Catholic chaplain and chapel in a lot of universities in this country, including Yale University. I've attended mass there, and it's a terrific, it's really a terrific group. What this other group did is they just called themselves the Thomas More Group, and there's confusion, and that confusion should not be tolerated. So when you hear it, it has nothing to do with the various Catholic chaplains and chapels on universities around this country, just so we're clear on that. And I don't know much about it other than that, except they hired Gableman and they're quite conservative on a lot of issues. Now, secondly, when it comes to the FBI, you say under J. Edgar Hoover did some bad things. It did only in the sense that it during the McCarthy era, you would hunt down communists and that kind of stuff. It was not, he would blackmail many presidents. You know, Hoover was the head of that agency for decades, and he would go to people, and every president had some skeletons in his closet, usually a woman that they had been intimate with, and he'd say, well, I just want you to know, some people are mentioning that, but your secret is good with me. Translated means you better not fire me or that will come out. And he did that. He blackmailed a lot of different presidents from Roosevelt on. Now, however, when it came to the communist thing, in the 40s and the 50s, McCarthy was crude. You know, he'd get up and he'd say, you know, there are 325 communists in the State Department, all that. He pulled out of thin air, but not entirely. There were communists in the State Department. Alger Hiss was one of them. And you had McLean and Burgess in Britain. There were some. And they ended up stealing the secrets to the hydrogen bomb and giving it to Russia. So his so-called fight against communism, there are objectionable aspects to it, but don't ever think that there were no communists stealing our secrets back then and giving them Russia. That's how they got the hydrogen bomb in the early 50s. Now, fast forward, he dies. The FBI, throughout its career, the average FBI agent has been of impeccable integrity. They really have, even under Hoover. And nowadays, ever since he died and it's been in more professional hands, for the Republicans to go around saying defund the FBI, I mean, they're accusing us of wanting to defund the police. Biden put 500 million more into policing in this country than the Republicans did. The people who defund the police are the Republicans who want to basically use it for tax cuts. And by that, I mean, they'll resist any municipal expenditures. However, defunding the FBI, attacking the FBI, calling them monsters and vicious, that's what Trump did. Monsters and vicious. Trump is an agent of Putin. You know, if we were a little more aggressive and not so passive aggressive, which what Democrats are, unfortunately, we would put up, you know, they put up pictures of Mandela Barnes with Ilhan Omar and AOC. We would put up pictures of Trump and Putin. And we would put up pictures of Trump and Erdogan of Turkey, who genocided Armenians and now genociding Kurds. We would say, which one is the American president? And then they would blend together. That's what they would do. And we don't do that. We say, oh, he wants tax cuts for the rich. Everybody yawns. Everybody yawns. They put up very horrible juxtapositions of pictures. We do not. 90% of communication is visual. You can listen to people. Doesn't make any difference. Most people make up their minds about a person 10 seconds after meeting them. How they look, what their background is, how they sound. Not what they say. And we have not caught on to that. So you're absolutely right. The FBI is has high integrity. It's being attacked. And that's got to be turned around. Other people attack him. Put up Putin, Xi, Kim Jong-un, and Trump. These four people attack the FBI. Going to break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Try to put me through to her. It's been